And we're just going to hang on to you.
I can be glad, for my hope is in the Lord. For He gives me confidence that this world doesn't know. He's the Lord of all creation, and whatever the situation, I left for my hope is in the Lord.
But
Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When dark His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Sister Davis, for getting into my iPad this week, reading my email, and knowing what I'm going to be talking about today. That is incredible. There's just a spirit of unity here. It's amazing when you could come to church, and we may have not talked to each other or conversed with each other all week, but we have something similar in mind. We want to be in the house of the Lord. We want to be in His presence.
Yes.
We desire something from Him. We desire to give Him praise and glory and honor. All this world is, they made a decision not to praise Him, not to worship Him, but it's my desire and it's your desire to worship Him. Can we stand at this time? We're going to, I'm going to read a text. We're going to continue our lesson. And this week's lesson is talking about making right choices. In Matthew 7, 13 and 14, in verses 24 and 29, we're going to read, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go thereinat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, will liken unto him as a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, nor for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened to a foolish man which buildeth his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had entered when he had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as scribes." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for what you have willed for your people to hear today, Lord. Lord, I know your anointing is in this place, Lord. There's no question. I thank you, Lord, for the spirit of unity in this place, Lord. Lord, I know your word convicts, it challenges, and it encourages, Lord. It's going to do all three here this morning in these next few minutes, Lord. I pray, Lord, that we'd be obedient to your word, respond to it by faith, and trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated at this time. I remember teaching Sunday school. I started about 10 years ago, and I started teaching preteens about the 5th through 8th grade. And I realized, sitting there, it didn't take long before I realized that even at that age, some of the preteens are facing crossroads. We got some that are raised in church, and we got some that are unchurched that come on a church van. And some that are unchurched, they hit a crossroad. Am I going to still keep coming to church even though nobody else in my family is? And the ones that are in church, am I going to let somebody that doesn't go to church dictate to me how I'm going to live my life? And am I going to have my own experience with God, or am I going to live off of my mom and dad's experience? So throughout life, we're going to face crossroads. We still face them as adults today. There's decisions that we have to make. There's critical decisions we make in life. But we realize when we look back in our life, we've had to deal with this from a very young age, all of us. This is my deep thought for today, and I thought about this before even preparing for this lesson. God allows every one of us to make choices. Sometimes when we make enough bad choices, someone else will have to make them for us. I got thinking about the person who woke up this morning in a prison cell, the man or the woman, or the person who decided to go drinking and driving and crash into a vehicle, or the person who decided to text or didn't wear their seatbelt after they were warned multiple times and they can't go to the bathroom on their own. There's choices that they had to make and the opportunity to make the right choices, but they had to deal with the consequences of those choices. And we have choices to make every day, but some of the choices that we make, we have to deal with those consequences. And I choose to, you know what? When I come to a critical path and a fork in the road in my life, I need to acknowledge God in every area of my life. Because there are things that are too important not to pray about and too important not to acknowledge him about. That if I make this decision, it doesn't just affect me, but it affects my children. It can affect the following generation. It could affect loved ones. It could affect my church family. There's so many things that it's able to affect, but I need to acknowledge God in all my ways, and it's hands off. After that, he will direct my path. I don't have to second guess it. I know if I do it on my own, I'm going to screw it up. I'm going to mess it up. I'm going to second guess all the time. I'm going to have regret and remorse. But when I acknowledge him, I have peace of mind because he will put me on the right path. And I'm so thankful for that verse in the Bible that he gives us that option. Acknowledge me. I will take care of it. Do it yourself. You're going to mess up. And I will help you. I will pick you up when you fall. But it's a lot easier if you acknowledge me before you take that next step, because we all face forks in the road. A few right steps in the right moment can make a tremendous difference. A few kind words spoken when it could have been easier to flare up. We've all been in those situations at work or in line at a restaurant. Can save a job, it could save a friendship, or it could even save a marriage. There are those times when the Christian walk, when wrong can almost seem right, and right can almost seem wrong, and we live in that society where we are going against the current. We are doing the opposite of what the world is trending, and it's encouraging that in Isaiah 30:21 it says, "This is the way, walk ye in it," and it's good to hear the voice of God when we are going contrary with the current and the trend of this world. And it's encouraging that we can go to the Word of God, and the Word can sustain us. The Word can carry us through situations that aren't going with the flow of everybody and everything else in our culture that we live in. In life choices, Jesus taught that we must choose one of two ways to live our lives. As faithful Christians, or it doesn't matter to me one way or the other. And there are those two kinds of people. To illustrate the extreme differences of these lifestyles, in Matthew 7 describes two gates, two ways, two trees, two destinies, two houses, and two types of individuals. Jesus carefully explained, there is a straight gate and a narrow way which leadeth unto life. And the word straight in Matthew 7:13 and 14 It suggests being hemmed in like a narrow gorge between two rocks. And I got thinking about this. When we, this isn't an easy life to live. And I know that there's here people that have been in this walk for a long time, that they've had to go against the grain. They've had to push up against the rocks. They had to go against the thorn bushes. They had to be in some uncomfortable situations. They didn't get to walk that easy path with handrails. They had to walk ankle twisters. Have you ever had any ankle twisters in life where you've taken a walk and you're like, man, that hurt? Or you're walking on uneven ground and you get a little back pain because you're not walking evenly. You got your don't have your orthotics on and you're like, man, this is hurting. You ever come to the church and you realize, you know what, there's somebody that's got a critical spirit, or somebody that wants doesn't feel like worshiping God the way I do. And you got to take that narrow path, kind of get between them and that person and say, you know what, I'm not going to let whatever that is get between me and my praise towards God. I got thinking about this in Peter, James, and John. It took a great effort for them to get a better revelation of who God is. They had to climb a mountain. And you think about it, I don't think they had handrails when they went to the Mount Transfiguration. I believe it took some effort to get up there. And they needed, I believe, three people. Out of 12 people, three went up to the Mount Transfiguration. And I believe there was times when they had some rocky, hilly areas. And I believe there was times that, Brother Wells, you can help me out. They had to grab one another and say, hey, this is a hard situation. Help me get up to this next level. You help me get up, and I will help you get up. And Peter, James, and John, I don't know how long it took them to get up to that hill of Mount Transfiguration, but I believe having strength in numbers to where they wanted to get a better revelation of who God was, they didn't have handrails, but they had hand in hand. They had brother to brother to get together and say, we're going to make it up this hill. We're going to go up there together, and we're going to get a better revelation of who God is. Isn't that awesome? Let's give God a hand clap of praise. I got thinking about Moses that wanted to see the glory of God. Lord, I want to see your glory. I want to see it in a way nobody else has ever seen it. He also had to go up to a mountain. I don't believe it had handrails either. But he had to get in that crevice and that crack. He had to climb that mountain and take great effort. He had to separate himself from everybody else down at the bottom. And God put him in that crack. He put him in that place to where I want to show you my presence. You took the effort to come out here. Your obedience to me. Now I want to bless you. And I want to show you something that nobody else is able to see. I'm going to hide you in a crack. It took effort to get here. But I want to give you a better understanding of where my glory is. In Jesus' name. This is a less traveled road because it's narrowed and runs against the trends and the direction of most people that we run into every day. Not many people find this path. Not many pass through this narrow gate, for it's hidden from the view of those who are determined to follow their own sinful paths. Going against the trend will definitely face opposition and resistance. And that's not always a bad thing. When going to a gym, and I deal with resistance training, and I grab a dumbbell, or I grab a resistance band, it builds my physical strength. So when I deal with resistance in the spiritual realm, it improves my spiritual well-being also. So you know what? I need to thank God for those times when I do encounter resistance, because it is only for my good and it is only for my betterment of my spiritual well-being, because it makes me spiritually stronger than I was before. And I'm so thankful for that. I look back and I thank God for those struggles. I thank God for those obstacles. I thank God for those interruptions in my life. And those impossible situations, because I wouldn't be who I am today. I wouldn't be as strong as I am today if I wasn't in those impossible situations. And we are encouraged every day when we walk in the house of God, and I see multiple generations here and have been through hard times, have suffered loss, have seen disappointment, and have stood in the gap and interceded. But God has been with you. You have wrapped up ankles. You have twists and turns. If you can roll up your pant leg, you got some bumps and bruises, but God has kept you, and it was worth the journey. And that path wasn't the easy path that everybody else was taking, but it was a path that was well worth it because God gave me a better understanding who He was because I went through that test and that trial. He showed me His glory. He revealed something to me He didn't reveal to anybody else. He had to take me to my alone place to be somewhere where I could see things that nobody else could see. This is never a way taken by the proud or the arrogant. Often people have nearly wrecked their lives through foolish choices because they discover there's a far better road to travel. Proverbs 4:18-19 says, "But the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more until the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not what they stumble." They are walking in the darkness. They're tripping over something. They don't even know what they're tripping over. They're so blind. They're living in such darkness. But I thank God for the light. It's revealing. It tells me where I'm going. It lets me know that I'm on the right path. You know what? When we get in those crevices, when we get in those rocks, when the cracks, you know what? The light doesn't always shine. But we're going to have to trust the voice of God to get me from where I am to where He needs me to be. It is always, the light isn't always going to be bright. But the light is brighter the more that we continue to walk in this. And I'm so thankful for that. Trust in His voice. Stay in His light. Those who travel this broad road notice that there are some that have encountered much sorrow and sadness along this way. While there is much to entertain and distract, these things come at a high price. For a time, this road offers entertainment and even joy. But like a dreamy day in the beach, the conditions quickly change to a raging storm. Travelers on this road often struggle with personal problems they can never solve on their own. Some may be terribly bound by habits and addictions. Some may be consumed with loneliness and regrets. They may have wept and promised themselves over and over again that somehow I'll break away from my addictions and bad habits and wrong behavior. There's an old saying that good intentions, that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. You can have good intentions, but be on the wrong path. We can't do things on our own. We can't do anything on our own. It is impossible to do anything on our own. Everything good in our life and everything that everybody sees in our life that look like we have it together, God is holding every inch of our life together. We're not doing it on our own. We're not making this on our own. We can't make it on our own. If we took one step out of His hand, our life would totally and miserably fall apart. We'd be a fool to think that we could do anything like this on our own. It is totally impossible. But only a fool can think that I could do this. I can make this on my own. Like, I could just say, okay, look, Mom, Dad, no hands. I got this. No. You're going to crash and you're going to burn. You're going to run into a tree. You're going to fall into a ditch. You're going to get up. You're going to get to a place where you're like, I need your help, Mom. I need your help, Dad. I need to get up out of this. I did not make it. I couldn't do this on my own. I couldn't do it out with your help, God. There's no third way. There's no other option. We are either on the road to heaven or the road to hell. There's nothing else in this life that can be more important than this very thing. We have to have a made-up mind and firmly fixed upon the prize that lies before us. Paul wrote to Timothy, "We brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out." I drive by Rich Harvest Farm every morning, and they did a thing where they encountered people that would drive by there, and they built a roundabout a few years ago, and there's an average of about 10,000 people a day that drive by there. And I have the opportunity to work on some of his properties. I know at one time, about 10, 12 years ago, there was about 40 buildings and houses and other things that are on his property. You would need a helicopter or a drone to see everything that he has owned over the years, that he's accumulated over the years. But he passed away a couple of years ago, and I don't believe there was a U-Haul at his funeral. There's nothing, everything, achievement that he made in his life, he could not take with him to the next life. You could gain the whole world and you could lose your soul. It does not matter. You can have millions in stocks and live a great life. You can acquire many NBA World Championship ring titles. It does not matter. That does not matter when you draw your last breath. To lose one's job in a shaky economy must be certainly stressful. To lose a home due to a foreclosure can be a painful experience. To lose one's health can be more unsettling. But to lose any of these things can be a great loss. But for one that loses out on heaven, it is a loss of eternal life, the loss of hope, the loss of peace, and the loss of joy. I could lose some things that are temporal, but I do not want to lose out on anything that's eternal. Jesus dealt with with man's great need, both to hear his voice and to obey his voice. It takes both. He compared it to two men who each built a house, one upon a rock and the other upon the sand. Everyone recognizes the need for shelter, especially in a time of a storm, but not everyone will make the adequate preparations for the proper future. I worked on a lot of buildings and hospitals over the year. A couple years ago, I worked on a six-story building downtown Joliet. It was a large building. It was one of the largest buildings I ever worked on. It took a couple of years to construct, and before they set the steel, they had the plans, and they started to dig for the foundation. And they got to one corner where they were building the foundation and realized that the underground utilities for the city were running right where the corner is. And to get to the proper depth before they could set the steel, they had to reroute all the utilities that were underground. It took about 2 or 3 months. They pushed the building project out. And to reach the proper depth, to get to the proper height, it took effort to do. And there's something said about going deeper before we go higher. We have to go deeper. God wants to take us higher. He wants to take us to places we've never been, but we have to get deeper. We have to get deeper in our prayer life. We have to get deeper in our walk with God. We have to go places that nobody else wants to go, and where people have rarely walk, in Jesus' name, to get to that. I want to go deeper so I can get higher. David said in Psalm 62:6, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense, and I shall not be moved." I can look back and testify, and I know there's others here today that can testify, where I did not have the seniority and I didn't have the credentials on certain jobs, but God put me in those situations and kept me employed, and it did not make sense to other people. I would call other people. I would hear it down the road where they sat home for a couple months and we didn't have much work, and I worked through that whole period. I didn't understand it. And they had more seniority than me, and some guys were more qualified. They had more training than me. But I thank God that he takes care of his own. When there is times of famine and there's times when people have not, God does not leave his people destitute. He does not leave his people in a position. He puts them on a pedestal to let the world know, this is how I take care of my people. And I'm so thankful for that. And we don't do this to boast in ourselves. We do this to boast in God. Say, God did this. He made the way. He provided this for me. He did this for me. Every house that you live in on that city block should be a beacon of hope and a lighthouse to every neighbor that lives around you. We are that light that is a city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. I'm so thankful that he chose us to do that. Passing by the crowd, you can't tell whether a person has built his life upon a rock or not. When the fierce winds blow and the rains fall, God's people have an assurance that other people don't have. He is our rock, and we are secure in him. Regardless of any circumstances, he remains the same in our good times and our bad. When our hearts are rejoicing or whether it's broken, whether we are grieving or whether we have come through that time of grief, he is still there. The same storm hit the wise man's house that hit the foolish man's house that was built upon the sand. Both may have looked similar in appearance, and both may have been built with the same materials. But the one that stood was the one that was upon a firm foundation. Edward Mote wrote that song that we just sang a few minutes ago. My hope is built on nothing less. On Christ's solid rock I stand. On other ground is seeking sand. The results of the unwise builder's decision was catastrophic. His house fell, and the fall of it was great. This parable teaches us about the foundation, not the quality of the materials in the house. It is our decision to build our lives on Jesus Christ and not on good works that makes this house stand. Before beginning to build, the wise man determined that the place where the foundation was laid had to be firm. His life and the lives of his family depended upon it because a storm one day would come. When a skilled surgeon makes the right move while operating, it could be the difference between life and death for that patient. When an anointed minister preaches the right message at the right time, it could be the difference between heaven and hell and eternity for that person, for that hungry soul. Major decisions someone makes in a weak moment can also have eternal consequences as well. The Old Testament shows many of these men, young women, and people, all different people of walks of life, that faced tremendous challenges. Some made bad decisions. Others showed remarkable courage and faith that did great things. There are many who gave up in their pressures of their day and failed miserably. Some had every opportunity that was right, but they chose to do what was wrong. Adam and Eve chose to disobey God's command in the Garden of Eden. They had so much to lose and nothing to gain. They gained sin and shame, and they lost their fellowship with God. Sin has the power to deceive. It can convince the disobedient that right is wrong and wrong is right. And we've seen that in our culture that we live in today. It convinced Aaron that though he had seen miraculous signs in Egypt to make a molten object with idols. The influence of sin causes Achan to steal and hide part of the spoil of Jericho in the earth underneath his tent. Still, sin eventually misled the judges of Gideon and Samson, men who had been mightily used of God. It persuaded King David he could commit adultery and murder and still serve God. Moses was one of those who elected to obey the commands of God regardless of the difficulties. In Hebrews 11, 24 and 25 says, "By faith, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." He made a choice. He was determined. I'm going to hunker down. I'm going to be in with God's people, even if it costs me something. I could have it pretty good the rest of my life. I was in the king's palace, but it doesn't matter to me. I want to be with God's people. I will settle for nothing less than to be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I don't know what I'm going to gain outside of this. There is nothing that this world has to offer that this is so precious. I believe there's some here that it is obvious you've been coming year after year, like Sister Day and Sister Davis and Sister Atkins. You wouldn't give this up for anything. This is precious to you. That's why you come here every week. Nothing else matters. There's nothing this world has to offer but this. Our fellowship, our walking hand in hand, getting together. We're going to climb that mountain. We're going to go places we've never been. I want to make it to heaven someday. I want to make heaven my home. You want to make heaven your home. I want my loved ones to make heaven their home. That's why we're here. We're here to encourage each other, to lift each other up, to climb that mountain. Lord, take me to that higher place. He is calling. He is reaching out his hand to pull us to higher places. God delivered Joseph, David, Daniel, Esther, and the three from the fiery furnace because they made right choices. Some were tortured and suffered imprisonment. Hebrews 11, 35 and 37 speaks of God's other faithful servants, the ones that remain nameless. Women received their dead to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, the bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. They were tempted to deny Christ, but they chose, "I will die for him. I will not, there is nothing in this life that is worth living for. If I'm going to live for anything, I'm going to live for him. And if I'm going to live for him, I will die for him also." Jesus taught that everyone who receives an invitation to obey the gospel will not respond to it. Of those who do, not everyone will meet the requirements of the kingdom. For many are called, but few are chosen. Everything about Christ's final words on the mount indicated that only the dedicated and diligent will prevail. In Luke 13, 23 and 24 says, "Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and not be able to." It takes more than looking at direction. It takes effort. And strive, by definition, means I'm going to have to devote some serious effort and energy. I'm going to struggle with opposition at times. I'm going to have to go against the grain. I'm going to have to go against the trend. I'm going to have to go against where everybody is at work. I'm going to have to go where all my family and loved ones are going against at times. I'm going to have to push against them. I'm going to love them, but you know what? I'm going to have to love you from here. Because when it's time to get into the house of the Lord, I have to go and be with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Because that's where I'm going to, we have one destination, we have one goal, to make it to heaven someday. And we're there to encourage each other. And I love for you to be there and to go there with me, but you know what? I'm not gonna stay here behind. Either you want to go with me, or you can stay here, but I'm going to love you anyways. Though none go with me, still I will follow. In Jesus' name. I have to go against the trend. It's hard. It's not easy. It breaks hearts. It hurts. Men in the Old Testament would rent their clothes and intercede when they saw others making wrong choices. We've seen people come and go in this church over the years, and we were excited to see them, and it hurt to see them go. And I know that ones like Aaron and others, it would be in the Old Testament, when they see a family member of God making a wrong choice, they would rip their clothes and they would stand in the gap and say, "Lord, don't destroy them." And they say, "I would do anything to see them getting on the right path, to be back in the family of God." It hurts to see loved ones walk out of the fellowship of God. But God gives us choices to make, and He will not mess with that. He gave us a choice to make. We could be anywhere else today, but we choose to be in the house of God. And everybody else isn't here today chose to be where they're at. I looked at the ones that are up in the youth group. We had probably 7 or 8 of us there on a Wednesday night. And they are going against the trend of everything else. How many thousands of people do they encounter when they go to school every day? Hundreds of people in their class. And to stand firm against the peer pressure, to stand firm against going to what everybody else does. But you know what? Standing firm makes you stronger. I got thinking about standing out in a river when that current flows and you got the waders on. And after a while, you build up a resistance from that current, that water hitting your legs constantly. And you get out of the river and you get walking on solid ground. And you're like, man, I feel pretty good. I feel a lot stronger than I did before because I had to deal with that resistance. So, and I'm so proud of our youth. I see a group, a generation of leaders. And I encourage them and I tell them, you are the leaders. You are leaders in your school. You are leaders in this youth group. And I can't say enough good about them because I see people that have a made-up mind. They want to please God. I don't know. Spencer and I, we went up there, and it's an honor and privilege every time to teach those children and to be a part of their lives. And I'm so thankful to be a part of that. I wouldn't trade this life for anything in the world. I've experienced what this world has to offer. And this is the best life, and this is the blessed life. There's no middle. This is a one-way road. I've seen how others have taken this road and how some of the church have walked this narrow road. And I have seen how the word has sustained them over the years and how it's kept their feet from slipping. I'm about ready to close. We can stand. Thankfully, we can choose the right path. Thankfully, God has promised He will go with us every step of the way. He never leaves us to struggle on our own, in our own desperate situations, and never abandons us when we call upon His name. I'm thankful that when I do make a decision, and I realize, what did I just do? that I could call upon his name, and he will not leave me. He will help me. He will intercede for me. He will stand in the gap. He will make right my wrongs. He will not reject that sincere heart. How many times have you made a decision in life and said, you know what did I do that for? Why did I let those words come out of my mouth? And we cry out to God. He didn't forget me. He didn't abandon me. I am so thankful for that. I am so thankful that he is in our imperfections, that he didn't walk away from me when I made a bad choice in life. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Today is the day to make the right decision, to choose the narrow road that leads to eternal life, to keep both feet on the boat, to make sure your life is set upon a foundation with Jesus Christ. The storms will come, and he wants you to be standing after that storm passes. For he that soweth to his flesh shall the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth of the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap. I want to reap what God has for me. That means I have to be in his will. I have to be in his way. I have to be in his word. I have to be in his house every day. Aren't you thankful for him? Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Thank you, Brother Krieger, for a wonderful teach. What about you, but I want to make right choices. I realize my choices affect not only me, but all those attached to me. And I want to make right choices. And unfortunately, we're living in a world that wants to take the difference between right and wrong and make it very suspect, make it very gray. Right is whatever you feel is right, and wrong is whatever you feel is wrong. And that's why I believe the church is so essential, so important, that we look into the Word of God, that we allow the Word of God to dictate what is right and what is wrong. And we endeavor to walk ourselves and lead others in the way that is right. Because we know as long as we are doing what God would have us to do, the outcome is always good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Can we pray one more time? Lord Jesus, we love you. Lord, we thank you for this word that we've heard here this morning. God, let it resonate in our spirit. Let us understand the importance, God, the absolute essentiality of making right choices, God, in regards to ourselves, in regards to all those that are attached to us, God, through relationship. Lord, we love you. We thank you that we can come to you and come to your word, God, and be directed therein, God. The steps, good steps, God, the steps of a good man would be ordered of the Lord. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. We honor you. We glorify your precious name. Jesus' precious name. In Jesus' precious name. For all of you mothers, we want to say Happy Mother's Day. During our second session here in about 10 minutes, beginning at 11, we will take time out to celebrate you and to honor you. And thank you for being our moms. And so we're going to do that at 11 o'clock here in just a few moments. Our classes are going to be returning. We ask that you would take this time if you would like to. You're certainly welcome to come and pray around the front or pray where you are. But let's make sure that we're reverent in the sanctuary. If you need to go to the restroom or take a short break, you can do that as well. 11 o'clock, we will begin our second session.